podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to what will be a very, very smiley and happy match reaction to Liverpool's last gasp victory at Newcastle United in, not to be overreactive, but in probably the greatest win the football club will ever, ever, ever see, because wow, I can't stop smiling. As you can see by my sweaty head, I have not stopped sweating. I'm joined by Shiggs, who's got a fantastic smile as well. How are you, Shiggs?
Mate. I lost my voice. Like, literally, when we got the win, I was going nuts. I said it to you backstage. I love this team. I hate this team. I love this team.
Oh, yeah. Like, just... That phrase couldn't be more appropriate for them. Yes. Nice, to be honest, I don't think you'll get a more appropriate phrase in any football team, in any football match ever, than "I love and hate this team" at the same time, because that was the biggest roller coaster of emotions I can think of.
I didn't see this coming. Beginning of the second half, I was like, please. Let's just get a point out of it and get the hell out of that. Get the hell out of Dodge. Like, I'll be happy with that. Darwin said, "Nah, forget all that. We're taking all three."
That's just. I think I still need a minute to breathe. To be honest, I haven't stopped. I can't. I've lost my AirPods as well in the aftermath. it's like I was in the way, and I've like, my head's all over the place, but. We've got a few people in. Like, make sure you smash the like button, give a subscribe. We've got Ben in here, I think, as well, even though he can't be with us. The best I ever been to never write a team off. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I wasn't there.
Did he go to the game?
He must. I'm going to assume that's why.
Oh, Benny boy.
Right now. I can imagine. Up in the gods, Ben must have had a great time. There's another one for Ben. All these donuts that's landing in us every day. Come outside. I agree. We'll just quickly go through. Even Chadwick, my blood is still pumping. And I'll come out of measure with that crap. That Wizzy from Follow FPS. It's just everyone buzzing, I think it is safe
it
to
must
say.
Be, bro. They're crying like I am, bro.
Before we try to do it in depth, even though I don't think either of us are just going to
try. It's going to go all over the place, bro. It's going to go all over the place.
Just a quick shout out to our sponsor. YourFuckCard.com. Make sure you use TAT Pod for 15% off when you check out. Right, let's try and be sensible.
let's
run it back to the start. We had the lineup just quickly because we've got a lot to talk about within the game. The lineup was probably what you expected, I'd imagine, Shiggs.
Yeah, I was happy that Gakpo was starting in the nine because he's been playing the number eight role, which is in his game. So I was happy that he got the chance to start as a number nine, so I weren't mad at the lineup. What about you? Was you?
I mean, there's always been a bit of me who wants to see Nunes play every minute of every game because I just think
I know.
I think it's just a bias anyway. I think
I'm probably
going off the last season's fixture as well when Nunes started and played really well, got the goal. Probably just living off a bit of that. But I know it's really unfair to judge Gakpo for playing in the midfield, but he didn't look great in those those two games.
Yeah, I heard that.
It's unfair to say that's why he should be dropped, but then it's probably unfair to say you drop Jota for him as well. So he done that, the decision to drop Jota.
Which I think was warranted. Jota didn't really play well, even though he scored against Bournemouth. He wasn't really fantastic, was he?
You know, link up and stuff like that. The lineup's expected. Nice to see Endo giving a start. I mean, baptism of fire and St. James ran away. Certainly. And then Matip as well is probably the other one, which we all kind of anticipated. But to be fair, I think I don't know about you, Shakes, but I was leading towards Bichon Gomez. I don't know why.
Bro, listen, when when we started the game, I was in a space before that, and I was just like, I'd rather start Gomez than Matip because let's just be honest. Newcastle, they have pace up front, and what worried me was Gordon, which he did, would rip Trent, and Matip wouldn't have been able to keep up with him. So that was my reason behind. So we're on the same page. I wanted Gomez to start, but well, because of what happened, he came on anyway. But that was the only thing I would have changed. But apart from that, I wasn't too mad at it.
No, not really. I think it's probably the Pajarodos. But even though my reason for Gomez would be just because he's still young, he's still got talent. He's still, I'm not to say Matip hasn't, but realistically,
he's quicker as well.
If things had gone the way, you know, you can't, it's never a perfect window, is it? But realistically, you probably would have wanted Matip to be moved on this summer and bring in a young, I don't know who you can even.
Well, we're going to talk about that. The guy that came in.
Yeah, no, we'll get onto that. We'll try and go in the order of what happened, but I just want to start singing Darwin Nunes. That is going to shake. First 10 minutes, we've got the lineup. So, I mean, Newcastle's team was. It's one of them, isn't it? It never looks any special, but the ground, the energy, how gets them, how he wants them, and they are really good.
They were up for it.
They're always up. They seem to be up for every game, especially, you know, the past 18 months for them. They've been on top of the world, haven't they? So it's fair enough. You see the team, you expect them, what we see, really, the first 10 minutes. Well, probably not even that. It's the first 6 minutes, and you've got a potential red card, haven't you, Shakes? It's so much to depict from just like these 6 minutes because the referee just loses the game. He completely and utterly loses the game because I'll run through it. I mean, Trent gets pushed in the back off the ball, so therefore that's a foul, doesn't give it. So he's obviously wants the foul. He's off the pitch quite a bit and he just kicks the ball. Right, I know the rules are rules now, but he only kicks the ball onto the pitch. It's probably like not really anything serious. Gets booked. Mm. Stupid from Trunks. He knows the rules, but just stupid. I don't like these stupid rules. It gives the refs.
But they've been consistent. They've been consistent with it though.
That's the thing. I think we'll get onto that. I mean, I tweeted Joel Linton 4 fouls to get 1 book, and it just is consistency is always the issue. Listen, the players know the rules, so it's stupid from Trent. It's shipping the referee for not giving a foul anyway, but then Trent's head just goes, doesn't it, really? And then, well, maybe not even at that point, Gordon takes him on 1v1. Gordon's very, very, very quick. One of the quickest in the league, I think he is on the stats, which is probably a surprise to quite a few. Trent, brushes his shoulder. He goes down. The whole ground wants a red card. I mean, biased, of course, but maybe he's lucky, but then at the same point...
Let me ask you this. If he hasn't got a yellow card for throwing the ball on, does he get a yellow card for that?
Oh, he absolutely does. There's no doubts about that. But that's the problem is, I mean, it's just the referee's like consistency all in all, isn't it? It's just
he set himself up to fail the ref.
Yeah, like because he's booked them already, he doesn't want to book them. And then it almost kind of rolls on. I mean, I'm jumping a bit ahead to the Van Dijk. We'll get to it. Kind of like rolls on because maybe in the back of his mind, you think I'm
one of the players. You should have
been sent off. Yeah, but listen, I think it makes sense, even though it's not in the rules, first 10 minutes for a very harsh 2 yellow cards.
A foul, whatever time it is.
I know. And I do think it's a very harsh foul as well. I just don't think it's... He brushes his shoulder, but I mean, it's a yellow card every day of the week.
When he brushes his shoulder, it's obstruction.
Yeah.
And he knew it wasn't like the guy ran into him. He clearly.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's the first issue for both. I'm going to say both sets of fans because the issue for Liverpool fans is just consistently. I'm not saying any Liverpool fan will want Trent to go off, but the standard of the referee is just appalling. So there's an issue already. He's lost the game as well. That's the second issue for both sets of fans. And then, after that kind of calms down after about 5 minutes, Liverpool probably get a shot off on target. Salah's weak effort. But Liverpool aren't really, you know, they're not authoritative within the game, are they at all, Shiggs?
It just looked like, and I get it because Endo's only been there for, a week?
Yeah.
So... our midfield had no cohesion about it. None. Correct me if I'm wrong, but in the first 30 minutes, did we even string like 10 passes together?
It just didn't. Even if we did, it wouldn't have been in any sort of threatening way. It just seemed
No kind of pattern, no kind of.
No, okay, and I think that could go back to, you can argue going back to the Bournemouth game, that was maybe a bit of an issue. But just the patterns of play just don't seem to be right there. And I listen, three games of the season, you've got a whole new midfield, and two of those midfielders are very attacking midfielders. Yeah. So I think that can be, you know, argued for. You've got a Diaz coming back from a long-term injury. And, you know, Gakpo's still only been there for like 6 months. So it can make sense. However, there was still a nice pattern to play, you know, back in the last season. So maybe it's just a bit of rustiness. But it just didn't happen for Liverpool and Newcastle on the front foot. And
also on top of that as well, even though there wasn't many good patterns of play, Newcastle were the better, I'm just going to be, for me, Newcastle were the better team for at least, well, most of the first half. But even though they were the better team, at no point did I feel like, oh my God, like we're under the cosh here.
No, not really. I think you probably have, we'll talk about this first. The Van Dijk red card, don't you? You have that, you know, Gordon threw a ball to Isaac. Van Dijk.
No need to do that.
I don't know. I can't. I'm so 50-50 with it, to be honest.
Elliot, there's no way you can defend that, bro. When you get a chance, just watch it back again.
He
goes through Isaac to get the ball.
Yeah.
It's not like he's in front of Isaac and then gets the ball. Then as he gets the ball, then goes through Isaac. He goes through Isaac to get the ball. Yeah. And I don't understand. Like when you're that close to the area, unless you're ahead of the guy, you're behind the guy. Why would you make a tackle? You just jockey him. You just jockey him into the corner. Now, I know it's easy for us to say because we're watching on TV, but he's right-footed as well. It's not like he's left-footed and can turn around and take a shot. He has to hold the ball back and go again or try and cut back. In any particular scenario, Van Dijk is in an advantageous position because he's the one that he has to do something in order to beat Van Dijk. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why. With any type of situation, you don't want to give the referee any type of excuse.
No, I do. I agree with all of that. I think it's just, I'll go back, to be fair. I think the first error is just, it goes back to Trent's whole opening 10-minute shocker.
Yeah, his head has gone. His head has gone.
Just walks past him. Like, there's nothing Trent can do, really. He doesn't really put up a fight anyway, but if he does, he's probably sent off himself. So that goes back to that. That's why the through ball comes through. And then Van Dijk's just actually just got the best of him into the position. However, my argument is, and I think it's a very probably weak argument, I think I'm 60-40, maybe 70-30, that it's probably the right decision, but it just seemed harsh to me. But you've got Matip on the freeze frame, you've got Matip there, and then you've got Robinson still rushing over. I think Carragher said the same thing. It's a difficult one to judge because you can't, it's all hypotheticals now. As soon as Van Dijk gets a red card, it's all hypotheticals. I don't think it's a clear and obvious goal scoring opportunity when you've got two Liverpool defenders in close proximity. I think a yellow card I think that it has to be a yellow card. I don't disagree. It's an obvious foul because unfortunately he kicks through Isaac. So there's no argument really there, even though.
Let me put it to you like this. If that foul is higher up the pitch, it's only a yellow card.
That's where it comes into it, isn't it? It's the positioning of the whole goal scoring opportunity. But the thing is, you've got Matip there and Robinson, like they're in close enough proximity for me
to get there to
possibly interfere enough with Isaac to stop him from having a goal scoring opportunity. Yeah. Right. But that's of course all hypotheticals. Isaac could just take such off his feet and bang it past Allison. That's fine. Yeah. So, listen, it's a 50-50 one. It's a difficult one for the referees. However,
we missed the Trent Howler.
Of course. I'm going past. I've skipped it. I've nicely disagreed.
Yeah.
Skip the goal.
That's teamwork, man. It's teamwork.
Yeah, no, Trent. I mean, he warmed up Gomez, didn't he? He sent Gomez to warm up after like 10 minutes.
Because he looked like he'd lost his head, bro.
He did lose his head. There's no doubt about it in my mind. He absolutely lost his head completely. It was after that near red card, they had about four passes, which were
thank you. That's the first time I've seen Trent play bad in terms of a right back being defending, but it's never got to a point where it's affected his passing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like you said, three or four passes that Trent would normally make in his sleep, and that's obvious to me,
especially with he's got such talent. His passing is always, you know, spot on. Even if he's trying an ambitious ball, it's near enough there.
Yeah.
But he was just some pure aimless ones. He was a lazy one. He got down the flank, and you think you're all thinking, "We'll go on a little bit of an attack."
He's just going to play that through. Yeah.
It was just poor. And then the goal, you know, emphasizes that poor, just no really reaction. And then Gordon's in.
But you know what, though? Even though Gordon was in, I still thought Alisson was going to save it.
That's the thing, Alisson, isn't it? I mean, he gets something on it, but it's a difficult, isn't it? So Newcastle 1-0. I'll have to rewind it.
That's why I'm here, bro.
I was just carried on as if Newcastle hadn't scored then.
Yeah,
so the red card's that. It's only a few minutes after the goal, isn't it, really?
But literally about 5-10 minutes after.
Yeah, every memory of this game before, like, the 85th minute is now gone.
I think
not to be, because there's such a positive outlook on this game now, and I don't think they realistically should be. I'm gonna go all negative Nelly. Liverpool were really poor before the red card. I think that should be. There's excuses for the midfield being brand new. That's fine, but there's no excuses to be watching that and thinking they can't improve in the transfer window.
This is the thing, and I'm trying to be objective what I'm saying, but it was so poor. And I know obviously we're going down to 10 men and they're trying to readdress, but there was no idea, like, from anybody in terms of getting the ball, getting the foot. Even McAllister, I'm not going to lie, I was very disappointed in him today. And I know
he didn't have his best game.
He looked lost. And this is the thing for me, even so Bosley, he still looked about it, like he still tried to get on the ball, and still tried to do. But McAllister, I just felt like he looked like a bit of a deer in the headlights.
I think McAllister probably improved when Endo had to go off and he went a bit deeper. I think that might be something for them.
And chat. We'll talk about this. Hash out to Harvey Elliott as well. Came on again and gave a good performance. So, but I think now, like, I don't know what they do, because I think, is it Villa our next game? Is that home or away?
Yeah, Villa at home on the Sunday.
Right. They need to figure out what they're going to do in this midfield, or they need to get another DM, because I'm sorry, Endo, I know it's only one game, but he looked lost. The game was too much for him.
There's so many things you have to also say, don't you, apart from saying he wasn't great, because he's not a first choice Liverpool defensive midfielder. He's not really what Liverpool need. You know, you compare him to the one Liverpool have been linked with, as in Doucouré. Yeah, they're totally different defensive midfielders. Yeah. So it's just strange. I think he would be fine as a backup, but listen, he's been thrown
in. He's a Europa League guy.
It seems that way, doesn't it, to be like how they've signed him. But no, and for me as well, the midfield seemed too straight. But it was almost as like Endo was leaving the space behind him. So, you know, Fabinho would always cover that space, maybe not last season, but, you know, Fabinho was prime. That whole space, the little half spaces between the defence and midfield, Fabinho would cover it all. Endo was almost in line with Szoboszlai and McAllister, and it just seemed a bit off. But I think then also goes back, I don't know what you're... I'm gone past this now. I think this new system should be binned off, personally. I think it looks like they don't know... They don't know if they go all the way with it or go back. It was like half and half again.
I don't know how to pinpoint where the issue is, but you can see the issue. Like, there's no triangles, there's no pattern of play, let's just see how we get along. If we play this pass, then we lose the ball. Like, there was no kind, it's only more towards the second half, and this is maybe because when Nunes and Harvey Elliott came on, there was more of a cohesion when we played. But I'm going ahead of myself. But I'm just going to say this. I was so happy the first half when it's 1-0. I can't tell you how happy I was when you blew that whistle.
Yeah, I mean, you said it yourself, Shiggs, there wasn't really a moment apart from, and this is why he's one of the best goalkeepers Liverpool.
Oh, my God.
Apart from that absolutely brilliant volley from Almiron, I think it was, where he tipped
it on. And hitting the post as well.
But that was the second half, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In the first half, when all of the, you know, upper hand should be with Newcastle and the 10 men just happened kind of thing.
Yeah.
It didn't really seem to be all in at Liverpool, but, like, you know, Liverpool will take the back foot anyway, so maybe it did seem like that, especially in the possession stats. But apart from that Alisson save, you know, that's why he's the best, isn't he? Like, he just, if without that him, this doesn't happen.
When it left his foot, I was thinking, no. I don't know. Because he, you know when they say that's a hit? Like, he hit that. For the goalkeeper, and it wasn't like it was far out, it was close range to touch it onto the bar. Like, mate. What? Mate, like I just that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think
we got a lot of comments in the chat. So
if you I was gonna read this one out from Hello. I think you were reacting with Endo. I still think we need a DM, but getting chucked into a new midfield at Newcastle away isn't easy. I think it's a fair point, isn't it?
Maybe.
Yeah. No, I think there was one point with the system where it just hit me where I thought, this can't really be what they want from it. It's like, in trying to build up from the back, is like Van Dijk's a massive, and then you've got this massive on the ball, or Van Dijk on the ball, sorry, and Matip is next to him, and you've got this whole right-back space, and you've just got Trent standing with his back towards the way Liverpool went to be shooting. Yeah. And it's like, if you just fire that into him, we saw it against Bournemouth, I don't think he's like great with, you know, with coping with that, whereas he should be looking ahead, looking where the attacking runs are in that right back space.
Yeah.
And maybe engage him slightly with the 4-3-3. However, I do, we'll get onto the formations in a minute, because I think Nunes has proved we probably need to see a bit more.
Do you think that might have been because his head was gone at the time? That he wasn't.
I don't think it's that the case. I think that's how they want them to set up, and we've seen that this is the setup to be where Trent goes so inside next to Endo, and it was just a point where he can't be given the ball because he's just marked out of the game.
Yeah.
Whereas maybe if you drag him back into the right back role, you'll have like half a second to pick a pass because he's got that space. Obviously, be marked that there wouldn't be all that space on the right hand side, but there'd still be more chance of him being able to just look forward instead of having to pass backwards. So I think they're going to have to really. I said they're all pre-season, and to be honest, I'm a bit disappointed we're into going into the fourth game of the season. We don't know whether we're coming or going with the system. It's just a bit skee-whiff. I think a 4-3-3 is probably not the way to go either.
It feels a bit skittish, man.
Seems like he's thrown it together. And I do think a 4-2-3-1, which goes back to our point with McAllister not being great. McAllister looked better deeper. Yeah. If you have someone next to McAllister with a 4-2-3-1 and Nunes up front, running the line, doing what he's done with the two goals, which we'll get on to, I think you have a much better just basis of a team there.
And a system, yeah. And that will work for everybody to be able to do what they need to do. Because at the moment, it just feels like there's too many passengers in the team. That's what it feels like. It's just someone else, everybody's waiting for someone else to do something. And it wasn't until, but it wasn't until there were slight changes in terms of the players that came on that we looked like we took control of the game. Even though it was still them leading and they had their chances, we still looked like that when those two players came on. Harvey Elliott, I don't know what's happened, but he just came on.
Yeah.
I'm going ahead.
We'll move on. I mean, Liverpool hung on for the second half, but not really hung on to the point you'd expect them to do.
It wasn't all hands on deck, but it was just
we coped well. You know, you have to a little dramatic 5 minutes after Trent maybe should have been sent off. You have the dramatic 5 minutes after the Van Dijk red card, but then Liverpool probably gained the composure. And it goes back to the famous Klopp phrase, you know, mentality monsters. It seems that maybe they'd lost that a touch, but today I think, you know, you can probably say it's been coming back a little bit.
I will give them this: 2 games, 10 men, 6 points.
Yeah, that's really good. To be honest, it probably disappoints me a bit more that he didn't go for it against Chelsea.
And I would, but Chelsea, I understand it's first game of the season. You're away from home. Take a point. That's not a bad result, in my opinion. Yeah. Even though they've got a lot of players.
I agree with that. But the context of the game, I just thought maybe Liverpool would have gone for it. But we'll move on. Gomez came on, didn't he? And we've mentioned him. He done, I thought, absolutely brilliantly. He did not do anything wrong.
Listen, there was a point where I think there was a 2-on-1 with Harvey Barnes and Wilson was just behind him. And he didn't do nothing great. He just stood his ground and said, all right, you beat me. If you're going to do something, I'm not going to make a decision for you. You beat me. And I think Harvey Barnes ended up making the wrong decision or overhitting the pass, which for me was just like, good, man. I don't need you to be spectacular. Just be solid. And him along with that other guy, Quenza.
Quenza, yeah.
I know he only played that 15 minutes, but I'm happy with him because he didn't do anything flash, got the ball out, played it through the lines. Simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he was highly rated, and I remember watching him for England under-20s, I think it was. He scored a header in semi-final, and he looked really good in new football, so I am interested to see how he's managed. But before that, the second half kicks off, Liverpool look under pressure a bit more than they did at the back end of the first half. You think, here we go, this is going to be a battery now. it was a bit of a five-minute surge. And then, it kind of just calmed down. And then I think, maybe it was more of a 10-minute and Klopp watched that and thought, sort of need to change. And I think they really did change the game for Liverpool in terms of just possession-wise and calming the ball down.
Yeah, no, they did. They did. Mm-hmm. For me, it helped McAllister get on the ball more. It helped the front line just be a little bit more, not even frontline. I can't explain it because you'd think with 10 men they would struggle, but when Harvey and Jota came on, it felt like we wrestled control of the game back. Mm-hmm. It became more of a 50-50 more than it was a 60-40 before. And you'd think that wouldn't have been the case, but I think the lines, the patterns of play, the how we were getting the ball, how we were keeping the ball a lot better. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't from about what I would say from about the 50th minute up until maybe the 65, 70th minute, I still thought I would just get a draw and get out of here. I don't know how we're gonna get the goal, but just get it might be a corner or something. Because then we started to get a few more corners and stuff.
Yeah,
and
he was like a 5-minute period, wasn't he? It was like four corners on the bounce.
Yeah, and one thing I was happy about is Szoboszlai was taking the corners because he seems to whip them in. Like, I don't know what's happening. Trent doesn't seem to have that same kind of, I don't know, trajectory whereby it was causing them problems. So in that particular point, and I don't know how, but we seem to push up the pitch more.
Yeah, it was that was the case, wasn't it? I think Jota at the time, I thought, just bring Nunes on and hope, but Jota really calmed Liverpool down. I thought he was, a long ball output kind of thing where he would just get the ball. He's brilliant at it, isn't he? He loves a little flick on head, and he was really good at holding the ball, and it really helped. So Szoboszlai was with him on that left-hand side because Elliot went to the right and McAllister in the middle, and it just helped Liverpool get the ball down and relax. And it really made a big difference. Even though you probably wouldn't have said Liverpool were showing some massive attacking threats, Newcastle got pushed back for 10 yards, 5 yards. And that was massively important. And there comes the four corners. Nothing really much else done, but it was just consistent pressure where you thought, who's got the 10 men here at that point? It was kind of one of them. I think Klopp, give him his credit, wasn't the best first half. You're probably still, you're arguing about Klopp, what he's doing with the system. But he really made a difference with them two changes, didn't he?
Definitely. And it just seemed to calm the game down. Mm-hmm. Like normally, if the home team's got 11 players, the crowd is up, everybody's at it. They just managed to, because even then, like I don't know, again, I don't know whether it's just me, but it just seemed like the crowd had just, it died down.
Absolutely, though, absolutely. I think because Liverpool just got hold of the ball, and I think Newcastle's record and Howe's record against Klopp is just
14 in a row against them.
Yeah, I think everyone's back of mind. They're just going, oh, no, oh, no. But to be honest, I was watching on and thinking, there's a little bit of hope. I think Salah got in and Botman done really well, good side tackle.
Yeah.
You sit up and to kind of take notice instead of going, oh, this is so, depressing because Liverpool are just getting dominated.
Yeah.
And then you kind of take note from there. And then I think it was about 15, 20 minutes left. Newcastle, Almiron hits the post in this period as well, though, because Liverpool kind of get the ball. And then they try to attack, kind of, but lose it. Almiron goes on some mad run, and you're thinking the worst. The defence kind of don't know where he's going or what he's going to do, and he watch the post, doesn't he? But Liverpool, you've got to get away with things, haven't you, in these types of victories?
Definitely. It's as you can tell by my voice, I wasn't expecting to be the way it was.
I think I'm still trying.
My missus was like, what's wrong? I said, we scored. I can't. This it was it was I, I it's been a long time since I've been that emotional about a game. Mm-hmm. I think it was just because of this chip backs against the wall. And you saw it even with the bench, how they celebrated when we scored back.
Let me go back.
But no, him, I don't know who Nunes came on for. Was it? It was for Gakpo.
I'll have it. Was it Gakpo? It was for McAllister. Gakpo went off his Jota on the hour.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, well, before that, we gave him a little bit of praise. We'll mention him coming on for about 13 minutes, as he came on alongside Nuno Conte. We'll have to mention this, though, and again, don't want to change the positive vibe. Massive going off. I don't know if that's going to be was sort of a pre-planned thing, but it doesn't seem to be very pre-planned on a 77-minute, does it? That's got to be an injury issue, surely. I mean, I'll have a look, but I don't think Klopp's mentioned anything. Someone in the comments.
I don't think it was an injury. I just think that because they brought on Harvey Barnes, and they brought on Wilson, and let's be honest, Wilson is gonna kill Matip in a foot race.
Yeah, suppose so. I mean, nothing's been up and said. Klopp hasn't said anything, so maybe. I mean, it's one hell of a move.
And I think because Quansah's a big guy as well, and he's quick. So,
yeah,
there was a couple of times where Wilson tried to outsprint him, and he's like, "Nah, cuz, nah, we're not doing that." we have to give Klopp as well for the changes that he made because it felt. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it ended up Conte being right back. Trent was playing centre back with Joe Gomez. If you watch it back,
he was probably. I mean, this is what happens, isn't it? Because there was instances in the first half as well with this system. I mean, you probably can't really say the system in the second half of the 10 men, but there was instances where Massa would end up having a right back position. He's just not quick enough to have it.
Yeah,
and Trent's in the centre half position. And Trent mentioned it in an interview maybe after or before the Bournemouth game that kind of happens where Canate holds a right back space and Trent fills in centre half. And to me, it's just not a good idea.
No, but I think when you watch it back, because I'm going to watch it back later. When you watch it, the reason why they put him in centre back was he was able to, because you notice in the last 10-15 minutes we was getting the ball more because he was able to play the ball through the lines, whereby Harvey Elliott was on the half turn, Salah was on the half turn, Jota on the half turn, so they're immediately putting Newcastle's back four on the back foot, which enabled us to step up.
I think you've got to give credit to Trent for that second half because he could have just carried on getting progressively worse for himself. It was a good, a vice captaincy show, and it was a really strong.
Yeah, show. That's another thing. Do you see it? I'm not going ahead of myself, but when we got.
I know what you mean. I mean, we'll get on to this now. The two fantastic. Nunes came on alongside Conte. Everyone had been asking for Nunes to probably come on at half time or hit him long. He's a big, big boy, isn't he? He can hold off players and he can run for days. The first goal comes from a mistake.
Before he scores, there was a ball. I think I don't know who played over. It might have been Trent, or it might have been I don't know who it was. He played him a long ball, and he killed it.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. That was Newcastle's warning, wasn't it? In hindsight, we're probably all watching that and thinking, oh, not again, kind of thing. But to be fair to him, I think it's a difficult ball to take down anyway. Newcastle left back and left centre half. That little half space in between them was the warning. The warning was there for them, and he didn't take it. But to be fair, I'm pretty sure it was Botman on the left, or it might have been the left.
No, I think Botman went off injured.
Did he? I wasn't really paying too much attention. Botman went off after Nunes scored the equaliser. So I'm going to assume, right, the comments could help me maybe, but I think it was Botman who made the mistake because it was the left centre half positioning, unless it was Dan Byrne, but the fella did not look 6'7".
Just quickly, shout out to Dana Jacks. He said, this house was jumping as well.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, to be fair, I'm watching it in my dad's an Everton supporter, so it was like contrast emotions.
He must have been fuming.
To be honest, I think he was just laughing more at me of what my reaction was, because I can't even tell you what I done. I think I done a laugh.
I was going nuts, jumping up and down. But that first goal, though, I think personally, I think the first goal he scored was harder than the second.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I do agree because you just, I think when he got it in that little space, I just went shoot because that's just hope and pray. And he, oh, it's a brilliant finish.
Barely did. He buried it so much, it hit the side netting.
Yeah, it's what he can do and it's what he needs to. It's what, this is what we've seen from Nunes on like the split few occasions now last season. And then you just think, oh, for God's sake, he's getting benched and he's not really in favour. But then it's almost like that's fine because Gakpo played so well in the running. But now I think this, that even if Liverpool don't go on to win this game, that finish alone should have him starting against Aston Villa.
You know why I'm so happy with that finish? It wasn't one of those things that he has to think, bang. He get the ball comes through, he has time to think about it and he slots it and he still slots it away. That's what I'm most happiest about because on numerous occasions we've seen him when he's had time to think about the chance and he skied it or scuffed it or hit it straight at the keeper. In that corner to hit it on target, normally it's either the keeper saves it or it goes wide.
Mm-hmm.
So I was so happy with him.
It's against a very imposing figure, Nick Pope, as well, isn't it? So,
and we always don't normally have problems scoring against Nick Pope.
Yeah, it's a very good point, unique, because it's not an instinctive finish, is it? It's you've got so much time because the mistake from Botman, I'm going to keep saying Spotman until someone maybe corrects me, but I'm pretty sure it was. And you just, every Liverpool fan I can tell you right now is thinking, please, because we've seen it happen too many times.
That's the thing.
Or it's been a poor finish, but then we've seen it on a handful of occasions where it's been a proper finish, and that was a proper finish. I couldn't be happier for him, really, with that equaliser. And then after that, you're just thinking, right, we've escaped. Liverpool have escaped with a point here. Now hold on for your lives.
Listen, I was, when Arby scored, I said, listen, let's get the hell out of Dodge. We'll take a point, and then we look how we lose and come back again. Let's go.
No, I was thinking, I was like this. I think I was just sort of with my hands on my head watching, please. And I mean, I don't think really. I mean, Newcastle again from kickoff, they come at Liverpool, but there's not really a threat. I think he was a free kick on a corner, but that might have even been after. I know there was a last minute free kick, which wasn't.
My heart was in my mouth. I said, please, no, after all this, no. But then that would be
But now I think Liverpool, again, they've done well. Gomez, brilliant. Conte, brilliant. Trent Robertson as well deserves a very good shout-out because it was 1-1 at flat four, and he just looked so much better. I don't think he exactly played brilliantly at all until Liverpool had to defend. He looked good defensively against Bournemouth as well. So maybe it's just this game progressing, maybe not in the way everyone wants to in terms of attacking-wise, but defensively looks solid. So the back four done really well, and then I think it's, 92nd, third minute, and Newcastle just trying to get the ball up the pitch. And McAllister, was it McAllister? No, must not be McAllister, he went off. Someone intercepted, a bit of a poor pass, don't they?
Harvey!
Was it Elliot? Yeah, of course, McAllister did go off, yeah. And comes to Salah, Elliot good, really just good, being there, pressing, doing things you should be doing. Salah composed, brilliant.
What
ball.
A ball! What a ball!
It's what Salah's changed, hasn't he? A little bit. I mean, I think we saw it in pre-season, like creativity wise,
it's
looking really, really good from Salah. I mean, I think everyone still wants to see him scoring, but if you've got goals in Nunes and
listen, you've got to spread the goals around, man. Mm-hmm. You've got to spread them around, and that ball. Like, as soon as he played, I was like...
Oh, yeah, I was like, oh, my God, he's in again. It's the exact same position. He's in again. And it just... I mean, Pope comes out a few yards, doesn't he? I mean, I don't... It is an easier finish, but I think the two similars are probably really compared, but he just does brilliantly again. It's in the same corner. There's no doubt in his mind. It's just everything Liverpool have been wishing for from Nunes. And do you think now, Shakes, I mean, the celebrations in the away and in this house, in your house, in everyone's house in the comments would have been, like, insane because it always hits a bit different when it's Nunes because everyone's just got a little bit of a bias that they love him.
Because everybody wants him to... Because there's been so many people, and I'm frankly, I'm not one of them, that have been writing this guy off, and I'm like, come on, man. You don't bang that many amount of goals. Even though it's Portugal, you don't score that many amount of goals to be that... You can't be. You can't.
No, I absolutely agree. I think too many people, I've got some mates who have arguments with Jamie. I'm looking at you if you're watching. I don't think he is, but honestly, I think the first thing I put in the group chat was Jamie, please speak, because he's been writing them off for far too long. And do you think now, Shiggs, you think you go to Villa, we've got the last game before the international break, got to start smashing it, and you've got to just see if he can really build on this now? Okay, maybe not.
You know why? I'm gonna sound like I'm contradicting myself now.
Go on. But
I like him in this role.
It's a weird one, isn't it? And I think
You know why? Because it's plan B.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Gakpo has the same effect that Nunes will have if he comes off the bench. That's just my opinion. And I may be wrong.
I'll come back to you. Just Mike's in the comments and he's saying he's got a question. So I'll come back with an argument point. But if Mike's still there, go on, deliver the question. We'll see what Mike's got to say. But no, I see what you mean. I do see what you mean in terms of it was like a plan B because of the red card there wasn't. So I don't think a star striker should be a plan B. And I think with McAllister...
But that's more of a testament to our front line.
I suppose, but I don't think you can say that off. If we're going to just base this off purely the first three games, Gakpo.
What I'm saying is this: in terms, I'm not saying that should be his role for the whole season.
No, of course not. No,
but what I'm saying is because you got to think as well. Gakpo's been playing in the number eight for the last two games.
Yeah, of course.
So I get him scoring the goals, but okay, do it again.
Yeah, this is what I mean. I think it's got to be that you've got to see him again because he's on a high now. I mean, I don't know. You can see he's a very emotional character as well, Nunes. So it's an easy drop him. I don't think Gakpo warrants, to be honest, the start. I think Gakpo's a brilliant player. But
I don't think that's fair on Gakpo.
I know maybe I'm being a bit reactionary, but just purely off a game where Liverpool was so poor, you have one standout player, probably maybe one standout's a bit harsh, of Alisson, Salah, Gomez, and then Nunes. I think you've just got to play him now and see the systems.
I'm not mad if he does.
I don't think anyone, you know, even if you think what you're thinking, no one's going to be annoyed that Nunes is getting a start because he's just won Liverpool a game. But I just think, I thought if Salah's going to have this creative spark, Liverpool have the option of maybe doing a 4-2-3-1 and seeing how good McAllister is in a little bit of a deeper role with a defensive midfielder. The fullbacks as what they're good at. Yeah. And we have Nunes in the last man. And then, as well as that, Nunes good in the air. We've seen headers from him before. So if Liverpool are in a low block,
I have the biggest... on Twitter, I said, and people will try and cook me for this, but I said Nunes, 30 GA in all comps this season. Mm. So I'm not mad if he starts, but I'm just like...
I understand. I just think you've got to give him a proper go now, especially the last game before the international break. Let's see it. And if he is nowhere near to what... Listen, it's a smash and grab this today, so the context of the Villa game will be totally different at Anfield. But yeah. Villa leaves space. We saw that against Newcastle before Villa, the 5-1. There's definitely something to be exposed here with Pau Torres and Carlos. There'll be spacing behind to Nunes. I think you've got to, even if you're playing Sheffield United, you're going to sit 11 men behind the ball. Let's test the heading ability out. Let's get Trent back down on the line and cross the ball in and let's just see how much this can actually work. And if it doesn't work, that's fine. Let's see Gakpo again, even bring Gakpo on and let's just see him dropping deep, dragging centre half out. But I think you can't have Nunes doing, I mean, that's going to be one of the, that's up there, I think, in Klopp's tenure is one of the best wins we'll probably see. You know, it's up there with like the last minute win.
Doors of defeat to victory.
Mm-hmm. It's brilliant. I mean, then there's some other little added we'll probably see a lot more now tonight, won't we? Little added spice with the fixture. Tyndall shushing Klopp at the start.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. Like, I saw that and I was like, good. That's karma. Like, Eddie Howe and the other guy, they always seem to have beef with Klopp.
Yeah, I don't really understand why. I think it may originate from Liverpool's home game against them last season where he was a bit of bickering on the sideline and Newcastle was just time wasting and Liverpool win the game in the last minute. And that, again, is karma for time wasting. So I think it may originate from that. I don't know if there's any previous with Howe at Bournemouth. I don't think there is. I don't see why they would be, but you know, Howe's done a really good job. But in my opinion, he's probably turned into the most unlikable managers in the league simply because of his stances with some of the questioning and the way he just acts. And he said there was a big rivalry between Newcastle and Liverpool before the game. That's not a thing.
Not a thing at all.
So and then what really annoyed me as well, the consistency of the referees, going back to that first point, probably from the start, Tinder was next to Howe, holding his hand throughout the whole game. That's a rule. That's meant to be a rule now. What was the fourth official just happy with it? That's the thing.
One rule for one, one rule for the other.
They make it up as they go along. The rules for everyone, and then they don't do it after a couple of weeks. But then...
Where's this question, man?
I know, yeah, I've been waiting for it. But Klopp shushed them back, didn't he? So that was very funny. And, you know, it's just... I saw lots of Twitters going, man, a little bit of a Premier League heritage. And I think it's very much Liverpool-Newcastle, love a little bit of a Premier League heritage game, don't you? I think that was definitely up there.
I can't remember the last time, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I can't remember the last time when we came from behind and won.
No, off the top of my head, I'm trying to think that run in, but...
I was actually thinking, man, when did we do that last?
No, wait,
okay, Bournemouth at home. Bournemouth at home. But before that...
Yeah, well, of course, yeah, last week. But no, that I remember seeing a few comments about that Bournemouth game. I think it's a real quality thing. I think if you saw that last season, heads go down and Liverpool will lose the game. But no,
they've got something in the bank that says, you know, if we go 1-0 down,
it does not matter because we've got that mentality back. And I think it's a really important, you know, to do that against Newcastle 10 men is
away
really
from home.
Massive. And I think it's a massive boost for everyone. But it's important now to maybe not get ahead of themselves, even though how the victory is.
Now they have to go back and say, look, where did we get it wrong? Because let's be honest, the first half was shocking. Like, I know we're elated that we won the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
This match review could have been a lot different if Nunes don't get them goals.
Yeah,
we're not smiling for one. We're cussing. So
we're both on here fuming. So it does need to. I think Carragher said that after the game, and I think we've both been saying it since the first game of the season, Jiggs. We've got a few days now left of the window. Liverpool need to sign two players, don't they?
They have to. Yeah. They have to. Because look, now it's. I thought when a player gets a straight red card, is it a 3-match ban or a 1-match ban?
I think if it's violent conduct, it is 3 games. But if it's a professional foul, I think it may now only be 1. I could be wrong, but I was having a debate myself.
People in the chat, let us know.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. People in the chat also, I forgot to mention, Ben's good at this. Like and subscribe, please. We're all very happy. Make us happier, please. I'm still waiting for this question from Mike as well, but he might have disappeared. But no, Shakes, you think Decore has got to be coming in, and then maybe I couldn't even think of centre half, to be honest, off the top of my head, really. But
you know what? Unfortunately, it's the best of a bad bunch.
It is. You've got to overpay.
I don't mean that disrespectfully to Decore, but at the beginning of the transfer window, Decore wasn't on our list. But when you fumble the bag, you got to take what you can get.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, no, I do agree, and I think equally as important now is what they do with the system. Whether they bin it off or they go fully with it. But I think they need to probably try a new one, little 4-2-3-1, and see what happens. But I think that's all we've got, apart from just carrying on smiling, being happy. It's going to answer back for Villa. Georgie, I'll get that comment on the screen for Georgie. Thank you for tuning in, as always, by the way. This is what I said. I said we're probably going to see Nat Phillips soon if we carry on.
Naldinho.
Nothing's been said about Konate, and when he's injured for a little while, isn't he, normally? So we'll have to, fingers crossed for that, but unless you have anything more to say, Shugs, I think we've got a good 50-minute stream there. We're going to both have a lovely Sunday night now and just rewatch everything.
I am fully going to enjoy this bank holiday now, fully, because I'm going to go, I've got some decorating to do, but once I've finished, crack open a nice drink and rewatch the game again. Well, not even rewatch the game again from 75 minutes onwards.
I do. I'd probably do the same, maybe. But I think that's all from us anyway. Thank you, everyone, for joining in, liking, and make sure you subscribe and also check out yourfuckard.com. Goodbye, all.
Take care, people.
Sports Social Podcast Network.